You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Before we get into all of that, let's look at how the markets have been moving throughout the day. I'm joined on the line by Head of Research at F&B Wealth and Investments, Chantel Marks, to take a look at the market movements throughout the day. Good evening, Chantel. Lovely to speak to you again. Looks like a fairly good day for the markets. Some SENS announcements, but generally it just looks like it was a good day for equities locally and potentially abroad.
Yes, it was certainly a good day for local equities. We started off quite strongly, kind of faded into midday, and then we had a really strong push towards the close as well. We saw some really good gains in the financial sector. I think what surprised me was that some of the big property stocks continued to push higher, and then also some of the large cap banks. And then on the negative side, we did see some pressure coming through on Sasol again, Exxaro under pressure today as well, Adcock Ingram, Ital Tile, a few names standing out on the loser side.
Let's look at some of the SENS announcements that we got, because they were quite interesting. Master Drilling, I know you love them, and you and I have spoken about them on a pod before, but this is one of the stocks that you've always felt is fairly undervalued in South Africa. They gave us some numbers today. What do we make of them?
Yes, so we saw some really strong revenue growth coming through, up 17.3% in US dollar terms. They mentioned that market conditions was tough, so a revenue performance like that, I think, is really, really solid. A little bit of pressure on the gross profit line. I think that they are really trying to push into new geographies and perhaps taking some lower margin contracts because of that push. We did see, however, that profits came under pressure, but that was mainly due to a very large impairment charge on some of their equipment. And I spoke to someone else earlier today as well, and I am happy that they are taking this impairment charge, because they don't want an inflated asset base, and they don't necessarily want to carry assets on their balance sheet that they're unsure will generate returns for them in future. So I think it's the prudent approach, but obviously it hurts profitability. The real proof, though, is in the cash flow metrics, and cash flow was extremely strong. And cash flow from operating activities was $27.7 million. That's compared to $12.6 million last year. So a really, really solid result from my perspective, bar that impairment charge that just kind of muddies the water.
Let's look at some of the other results, Chantel, that came through. Sea Harvest gave us some numbers as well, and Brimstone alongside that, the company that owns more than 50% of Sea Harvest. It's 25% of Oceana. Sea Harvest gave us numbers. What do we make of those numbers?
Yes, so I think that Sea Harvest's numbers were actually quite reasonable. Our revenue was up by 3%. Very mixed when you look at the different segments. So SA Fishing struggling a little bit with catch rates, but pricing being quite solid. So that business did quite well. Aquaculture also performing quite well. They did have some pressure in Cape Harvest Foods, where revenue fell by 25%. That is mainly due to just some structural changes in that business and a sale of a portion of it. And then Sea Harvest Australia also struggling. And that, they said, was mainly due to a late start to the prawn fishing season. So that was kind of a weather-related story. That kind of speaks to the fishing kind of groups generally. There are so many uncontrollables in these results. And what I like about Sea Harvest is that they are quite diversified. So that does help them a little bit with that. Operating profit was up by 23%, pretty solid. Unfortunately for them, their finance costs moved up quite substantially and made up had a very negative impact. So they actually saw that their bottom line also moved backwards. I think that that's also a feature of a lot of companies in South Africa right now. If you have some debt on your balance sheets, interest rates have moved against you, it can really hurt your bottom line. But hopefully that changes when we start getting some interest rate cuts.
What about Pick n Pay? They gave us, I think they gave us an update as well. Markets had been waiting for this kind of since we last got the update around the rights issue going off quite well. And they gave us some numbers saying Box is still kind of doing really a lot better than the Pick n Pay group. Anything surprising, anything stand out for you there?
Yeah, so I mean, as you mentioned, boxer sales continued to grow quite nicely. Clothing was also pretty solid, with sales at standalone stores up by 10.3%. A little bit of a slowdown on a like-for-like basis. They did mention something that we saw from other clothing retailers as well, that the late arrival of winter really had a negative impact, and it will probably have a negative impact as we enter the summer season as well, because now they've got inflated inventories and they have to sell it at lower prices. So that will impact margins. What I found quite encouraging was the core supermarket sales numbers. So it doesn't sound encouraging. It kind of ticked along slightly. But I think from a kind of deeply negative period, this kind of flattish performance that we saw is actually pointing towards an improvement in sales momentum. They're also closing some unprofitable stores, so that will also weigh on the sales numbers. But yeah, I think that it's encouraging in the supermarket side.
Looking a lot better there. We'll have to see how that unfolds. Obviously, Pick n Pay have their work cut out for them, and Sea Harvest and Oceana are going through some interesting reporting cycles as well. BHP, they gave us some numbers as well. Did they have anything interesting to say? I know they kind of gone quiet since no longer buying Anglo, but this was a big presentation for the year end, and we expected quite a bit from those numbers. Did we get what was anticipated?
Yeah, I mean, these guys provide guidance to the point where there shouldn't be any surprises, and they weren't any surprises. And that's why I think you saw a pretty benign share price reaction as well. So everything was in line with consensus expectations. It was in line with guidance. They provided some guidance for the next year. I think they're still a little bit circumspect when it comes to commodity pricing, but they're really trying to rein in costs in order to be on a decent footing once that commodity cycle turns. They emphasized copper quite a bit. I think that they're still looking for opportunities to expand in that space. In what form they're going to expand in that space, I think remains a question mark. But it's in line with why they wanted Anglo American in the first place, right? They wanted the copper, the South American copper.
It is definitely why they were looking at that asset, and I think they went the route of looking at other assets following that Anglo deal not going through. Speaking of deals that went through, I want to get your thoughts on something, Chantal. Last week, Friday, we got confirmation that the PIC sold down some of their Telkom stake. Now, interestingly enough, Telkom's been on quite the run this month. The share price has been doing a lot better in this month. I think it's up around 19% for the month. Any thoughts around why this time to sell down on that stake, and should there be more concern around it? I mean, the government does still have control over it, with the government's holding and the PIC holding bringing them above 50% ever so slightly. But that sale of about 3.5% is quite a big one.
Yeah, it is quite a chunky sale. I was also wondering about that myself. I think that we have seen a pretty decent recovery in the share price over the last month or so. I see it's up 23% over the last month, still down 3.5% over the past 6 months. And we do have the prospect of that tower deal kind of coming through and providing them with a nice cash boost. I think one of the things around Telkom is that you're so uncertain what's exactly going to be the catalyst for a value unlock of this massive asset base. And I think a lot of investors have perhaps grown weary of waiting for that value unlock to actually come to fruition. Yeah, I can't speak for the PIC, but certainly I think that some investors have gotten weary. Perhaps they're just not comfortable having such a chunky position, or perhaps they found opportunities somewhere else in the market and used this Telkom stake to fund it.
That would be interesting to see. I think that would be interesting to keep an eye on, to say what the PIC will then move funds into. You mentioned the value unlock, Chantal, and I want to stick with that for a second. Is there further value to be unlocked beyond that Swift net sale? I know we've kind of got an idea. 6.7 or just under 7 billion rand is what's going to be happening on that transaction. Is there more value still beyond that for Telkom?
Yeah, absolutely. It's just a question of how they actually unlock that value. So they have a massive property portfolio. I think they've got one of the largest property portfolios in South Africa. Not all of it is usable property. Some of it, there's just a tower on top. Some of it is literally just a little patch of land. But a lot of those properties have very, very good locations in prime central business districts, and they could be looking to offload that property either in smaller chunks, which is what we've been seeing lately, or they could be looking for a broader, bigger deal. But there's certainly value in that property business. And then we've mentioned the infrastructure side of it as well. And then I think that there is, once we get the legacy business kind of at a much smaller size relative to the broader Telkom group, I think what they're doing in mobile is quite exciting. And I think what they're doing in fiber is quite exciting. There are a few things operationally that I think that they can improve on. Notably, I don't know if you've ever been a Telkom customer, but customer service, I think, is something that they can really work on. But there's no reason why they shouldn't do well, because their value offering is compelling, and I think they're a really decent competitor for some of the other players. We've also heard MTN saying that the sector needs to consolidate. So there could also be the prospect of Telkom becoming a takeover target again, and perhaps value can get unlocked in that way. But again, we're talking about perhaps, maybe, someday. And that, I think, is a difficult one for investors to grab onto.
I was going to let you go, but now I'm not, Chantel. Does that deal still have any merit to it? MTN was interested in the SwiftNet business, the towers business, the infrastructure behind that. They are going through some interesting troubles and challenges in the African market that would then obviously lead them to say, where can we get other areas or other good assets to put into the portfolio? Does the deal then come back into the picture? Does it look more attractive? Because the last time we had this deal on the table, Telkom share price got up to 55 rand.
Yes, I mean, I wouldn't take it off the table completely, but it could look very, very different. I don't think MTN would necessarily be interested in the infrastructure business. We do have that other buyer for SwiftNet anyway. I think where the interest is going to lie is in the fiber business and in the mobile business. The unfortunate thing with Telkom is just that it comes with this legacy business story. So in some way, you'll have to figure out what to do with that business once you get your hands on Telkom. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's going to be MTN. It could be someone else, but MTN made the comment, as far as I can remember, around the consolidation in the industry that could be on the cards going forward. I don't know if they're interested in Telkom. It was quite difficult for them to get around the table the last time around.
Well, the seeds have certainly been planted. We'll keep an eye on it. And if it does come to fruition, we'll know we called it first. We'll leave it at that, Chantel. Thanks as always for the time and for the insights. Chantel Marks, Head of Research at FNB Wealth and Investments, on the market movements throughout the day, some SENS announcements and company updates, as well as what could potentially come out.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.